I entitled this lecture, 2018, Time to Get Serious. And I'll explain to you a little bit what I mean about time to get serious. But I'd first like to focus on the two in there and think of it just as the numeral two instead of the word T-O. And I almost made it a cutesy title and said that with the two. But why? Because if you know anything about numerology, 2018 is going to be a two-year. And this is because the 1 and the 8 in the 18 make a 9. In numerology, anytime you add 9 to anything, it like cancels out and you just have the number you've added it to as your result. So we've got the 2. A 2-year is one for combining things, buddying up. It's more of a feminine energy than a masculine energy. Usually the masculine energy is considered the 1, like the phallus. And now that we're in the 2000s, this is supposed to be the millennium for the women. And very interesting, women have been speaking up a lot lately, especially about not feeling that they've been treated very nicely. And I was thinking about that, and I said, what astrologically might relate to that? Because people say, well, you know, Jupiter just went into Scorpio, and Jupiter's the biggest planet, and it has to do with breaking things out into the open, and Scorpio is the realm of, you know, ruled by Pluto, the underlord, and it's the hidden things and the taboos and crime and things like that. Excuse me. So yes, Jupiter came into Scorpio. It spends about 1 year in each sign. It came in on the 10th of October. The Harvey Weinstein stuff broke out on the 5th. Pretty close. But then after that 10th, boom! Everything started coming out of the woodwork. But I said, you know what? It's not just about that. And somebody else, I was talking to this, about this to them, they said, well, you know, Venus is traveling with Jupiter right now, and Venus rules women, and, you know, Scorpio rules sex, and maybe it has something to do with women and hidden sex and all that. And I said, yes, I think there's some of that, but I said, I think there's a little bit more to it, because I also always look at moon cycles. And that's one of the things you're going to see on the 2018 on a page, which, by the way, this is every year I put this up on my website in the study booth, in the on a page tab down there in the study booth. It's a free download PDF. So if you lose yours or you want to tell friends about it, they can come get it. But it does have the new moons, the full moons, the dates of them, the degrees. And I started thinking about this Harvey Weinstein thing came up during a moon cycle that started in Libra. Libra is the sign about relationships, fairness, and that particular degree of that relation of that new moon in Libra lined up across the zodiac, so it's in a tension relationship with Uranus, which is boom, surprise, shock, things coming out from all over the place, lightning striking, fast-moving developments. And in Aries, where Uranus has been for almost 7 years, it's been recently, particularly in 2017, traveling with, and when I say with, in the sky they're not near each other. In the zodiac, they're near each other only because the zodiac is sort of like a big measuring stick. Okay, so if we said this is the sector that's Aries, and we've got Uranus is just about done with it, and it's just come by and visited with one called Eris, which on the cheat sheet I gave you, I only showed you the really lame symbol that my calculation software uses, which is not really the symbol for Eris, but this is the circle with the arrow pointing down, which gives you a feeling like the arrow of Mars, but the circle on top, like the Venus symbol is circle over cross. Mars is the brother of Eris. She's like the bitchy sister. Anyway, this is the one that they discovered out past Pluto back in 2006 was the year they downgraded Pluto and promoted what used to be an asteroid Ceres. You can read about that in my website in the study booth in the articles. Pluto demoted, Ceres promoted, and Eris noted. This is the goddess of chaos and discord. And she's kick butt feminine, and I don't need no man, and you can't tell me what to do. And this is what women are coming out with this. And Uranus is rebellious, so it's like, F you! You touched me! How dare you? 30, 40 years ago, you touched me! It's like, wow, okay. But why did it wait till now to come out? Because the Uranus, the lightning striking and getting this going. So that was what the new moon seed that was planted on October, I think it was the 19th. And that really fueled this right after Jupiter came into Scorpio. Wait a second, October 19th. Yes, that was still in Libra. Okay, so that's my hit on what's happening about that. So that wasn't what I was going to talk about today. But you got to talk about something to start with. And I got to wake y'all up because this is 2 o'clock is nap time. You know, you had your lunch, your blood sugar's low, and if I don't excite you, you're going to go to sleep, and I don't want to see any snoring in the front row right here. Okay, so we probably won't get to talk about every single thing that's on your handout today, but I'm going to try to just point to you as to how you might be able to use this as you go through the year. First of all, why I said it's time to get serious is because Saturn is the serious planet, and it spends about 30 years going through the whole orbit, about 3 years, 2 to 3 years in each sign, and right before the winter solstice on the 19th of December, Saturn's going to go into Capricorn and stay there for 3 years. And now, it doesn't matter if you're a Capricorn or not. You have Saturn in your chart somewhere. You have Capricorn in your chart somewhere. And that somewhere in your chart where Capricorn is where Saturn's visiting for 3 years, and that's what you're going to be getting serious about. Now, if you look on the back, it has a little table. It says, what house in your chart is Saturn going through? So, anyway, you have to know your rising sign to know what your houses are. If you don't know your birth time, you can't know your rising sign. Now, the rising sign is the sign that's coming up over the eastern horizon at the time of your birth, and it changes throughout the course of the year and according to the time of day. So let's just say when the sun is in, let's use Capricorn since we're going to talk about Capricorn. When the sun's in Capricorn and it's sunrise, Capricorn is the rising sign. So if you're born at sunrise, your sun sign is your rising sign. If you're born any other time of the day, you have a different sign rising. And when you get your chart, if you look on what would be 9 o'clock on a clock face, that's the sign, that's the eastern horizon, and the sign that's there is your rising sign. If you don't know your rising sign, it's okay, go by your sun sign, because we could say that there's a sort of a generic chart everybody has, even if you know your birth time, of dawn on the day that you were born. So you can put that sun sign at the eastern horizon point, and it will give you what we call your solar houses, the houses according to your sun, and they have some validity for you as well. But what you would look at is you'd say you looked on your chart and you saw the arrow, and the arrow is Sagittarius. If you have Sagittarius rising, the next sign is Capricorn. So Sag is at 1, Capricorn's at 2. That's how I got the numbers, and that's where you go to your cheat sheet. So in this example, if I have a Saggy rising person who's going to have Capricorn in their second house, and I look at the house list, it says that's your money. That's your possessions. Saturn and Capricorn think long term. They're about our old age. You know, Saturn was known as Kronos in Greek mythology, and that's the same root as chronometer, synchronicity, all those kind of crone, and maybe even old lady crones. I bet it comes from that too, from the crone stage of life. Wow. Okay, so in this example, this Sag rising person who's usually happy-go-lucky and says, now I got to think about my old age and my money, and I got to put something aside, and I got to see a financial advisor. Anybody in this room know your rising sign? You were just here at the class. Now, what did your chart say that they gave you?
Scorpio.
Scorpio rising. Okay. Because that's right. Two signs after Scorpio is Capricorn. So you are going to get serious in your third house. And the third house is about learning. Well, here you were taking a class. That's good. It's also about siblings. So if you have any, like, boundary issues. Saturn's a lot about boundaries. Think about those rings around Saturn. And they are like good fences make good neighbors. Good boundaries make good siblings. If you have good boundaries with your siblings, no problem. If you don't, in the next 3 years as Saturn visits that house, probably something's going to come up for you about sibling issues. Do you have any siblings? Neighbors, third house also. Okay. Third is where she has. She said she is a Scorpio rising, so she looked on the table and it told her that third house would be where Capricorn is and where Saturn's going to visit for 3 years. So she would get serious about third house stuff. Now maybe my cheat sheet doesn't say siblings or neighbors, or does it? It does. Also transportation. Maybe you're going to buy a new car during this time. Or maybe you're going to say, oh, I really want to cut back on how much I'm driving, because Saturn loves to constrict and cut back. I'm going to carpool with somebody, or I'm going to take the park and ride bus. Something like that. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, let's do the easy side first, the back side. I wanted to give a little rundown for each sign as to what were the major things that were going on. And you might, well, you probably won't understand that. That's a lot in jargon. So maybe we'll go through it a little bit. Now I want you to remember, you have every sign somewhere in the circle of your chart. It lines up with one of those 12 houses. So in some department of your life, you could have some of these either boosts from the plus column, or bumps, or I don't know, what's a nice word, starts with B that means bad. Bads. You could have some, you know, the front side has a plus and a minus to it. What does it say? High points and low points. So those could affect anybody, but they're going to have a stronger effect on certain signs because of the sign that they're happening in, or because of something called rulership, where different planets kind of pass their energy through to a sign. So that's one of the things on the cheat sheet. When you see a sign, there's a little planet name in brackets. So it says Aries, brackets, Mars. Mars would be the ruling planet of Aries. So if something was talked about in here for Mars as a low point, which there is, that would affect to whatever house you have Aries in. So here's what's happening for Aries. We just said Uranus, crazy Uranus, has been in there for almost 7 years. In 2018, it starts moving out. It doesn't quite get done. And why is this? Because none of them go around in a perfect circle from the way that we look at it, because of this thing called retrograde. Well, it's really the fault of, we're not the center of the universe, we're moving too. But the planets, when they go around, they kind of, they do a little zigzag. And that slice of the zodiac that they went zigzagging in, they visit 1, 2, 3 times. They hang out there a little bit longer. So Uranus goes into Taurus, comes back to Aries, goes into Taurus, and then stays there for 7 years. So that's why we'll see a little back and forth. But that's where, yes, Aries have been having a crazy time with Uranus in their sign. And we didn't know that Eris was there until we discovered it. Well, the astronomers discovered it. But it's been there for a long time doing things for all of us. I mean, it relates to the women's movement, and it went into Aries about the time women got the vote, like in the 20s. And it's going to be there until 2048. This is a slow planet. So this is great, because now we're in the second, you know, the 2000s, and it's the millennium of the women. So women are getting kick butt, and like, don't touch my butt, and I'll kick yours. So not only is Uranus still got a little more business to do in Aries, but this year it's going to have a special difficult connection with Mars, the planet in charge of Aries. And this is because of, I wish you were here for the last lecture. It was great when he did the magnets, when he showed you the nodes. Okay, so there's two points that cut through any chart. We'll just draw a line. They're always exactly across from each other. One looks like right side up headphones, one looks like upside down headphones. And they're called the north and the south nodes of the moon. And what they really are, is the intersection of two orbits. The Earth's going around the sun. While we're going around the sun, the moon's going around us at a different angle. So part of each month, the moon goes above the Earth-Sun orbit, part it goes below. And the switchovers are at these nodes. Okay. what they have to do as a function for us is they connect people. In astrology, the symbols for the planets use the circle to represent spirit. So it's like two spirits yoked together. And these points have a lot to do with our development on a spiritual level. The South Node, it says, what did you bring in with you? It's like your asset, but it can be a trap if you don't move past it. And the North Node is, what are you here to grow into and develop? So all of us are working on that with what's in our own chart, but where these points move around, that's where eclipses happen. When the sun, the moon, the earth line up at the intersections, they're just perfectly aligned, so they block each other out or throw shadows at each other, and you get eclipses. These are things that have to do with big changes that are going on. So we right now have the nodes in Leo and Aquarius. Leo is the king and rulers. Aquarius is the masses and the people. And even though we overthrew the king, remember George III in 1770s and whatever, we can have people still that try to wish they could be the king and the dictator and do what they want. No names. But right now we are having a struggle in our country between the masses and, let's just call them, the elites. Maybe the 1% are like the Leos. It's not just the one king. Joining that struggle comes Mars. Mars is the fighter. Mars is going to hang out an extra long time around the Aquarius Capricorn because of the backward it's going to do. And you can see that in the Mars column. The black is when it's going backwards. The gray is when it goes into the degree range it's going to back up over. Then it backs up. Then it has to come forward again through the range it just backed up in. So it's months that it's in the same part of the zodiac. And it's in the part of the zodiac where that node axis is. That would be tough enough, but it would say, man, we're going to fight that struggle. Nobody's messing with me. And then Uranus is right in the middle of it. It's slower, so actually they move in, and they form what's called a T-square. And T, you might think it sounds like trouble, and it sometimes is, but it usually means turning point. But because Mars is hanging out in the same part of the zodiac so long, it's a long time on that node, and then Uranus is slow, this combination goes on from late July into November. No, maybe it was into September. It's on the list. I think it's September. But it gives us some pretty kick-ass stuff. And there's some new moons and full moons that come in and interact with that. And one of the eclipses, I think it's the August one. That's why I wrote it all down, so we don't have to remember everything. But that's one of the mean things that's happening. Tough, challenging. It especially is going to affect Aries because Mars is in it and Mars is the ruler. No, Mars is not in Aries. Mars is the ruler. Uranus is in Aries. Now, Uranus rules Aquarius, so this same pattern also messes particularly with Aquarius people. And because we have, let's see, Leo, Aquarius, Capricorn, Cancer, it's a little loosey-goosey around the cusps, and Uranus going into Taurus. So that means people who are born in late Libra or early Scorpio are getting this as a cross, or if you have a planet in that degree range in your chart. That just makes it a lot harder. But sooner or later, you're going to like break through with energy like that. So another one of the major things that's going on this year, look at this for a second. We always have three Mercury retrogrades. They're usually spaced out about a third of the year apart. This one in the summertime, it happens totally during the time that Mars is retrograde. Now, Mars rules engines and motors and getting places, and Mercury rules all ground transportation. Think of little Mercury, the god, had the wings on the feet and on the hat. So, would you want to buy your new car this year during August?
No.
N-O, that's right. In fact, anything you have to do in August, you probably better plan some extra time to get where you're going. But is that a time to, like, launch a new facet of your business or start something? Not recommended. In fact, if you just look across the line and see how many things are retrograde. And there's one more, that Eris way far out. I didn't even give Eris a column. But it's retrograde starting July 20th. So there's a period in here that has eight planets going backwards at once. Some of them are minor planets. Bingo. And even be careful with your vacation plans because you may have trouble getting where you're going. And because that's during hurricane season starting up, don't go to the Caribbean. Okay? You know, maybe you go see the Northern Lights up in Canada. perfect. You know, something like that. So it's just an ugly time period, and that's when we're having eclipses. Most of the time there's two eclipses. There's a new and a full, or a full and a new. Sometimes you get three, and that's what we got going on here in the summer too. Two new moon eclipses, one full moon eclipse. Eclipses bring extra intensity. It's kind of like maybe more information is being downloaded electromagnetically, or I don't know. I don't have an explanation for that. But I just know this is a much more intense time. Now, if you have a birthday that falls near one of these eclipses, you're probably going to have a more intense year than you usually do. The same way that the energies of the planets at the moment you were born affect you for your whole life, the energies of where they are at your birthday affect you for that year till your next birthday. Now, some people think, oh, maybe it kicks in 3 months before your birthday and we start feeling it, so maybe it's going to 9 months after. But it's sort of a one-year sub-plan. Your main chart is your lifetime plan. So if your birthday is during that hard time during the summer, you might have a harder year this year. Yes?
What would be considered close to the eclipse?
Very good question. I would say if you're within 2 to 3 days on either side, and if you are a couple of days before a new moon eclipse, that's the ones in black, you might escape it because the eclipse is really coming after your birthday. But if you're a couple of days after that eclipse, oh, you're thick in it, honey. You know, and with new moons, there's not really a cutoff like that as there is with the new, I mean, with full moons, there's not the cutoff like there is with the new moons.
Gee, what were the months for that
again? We'll give you one of these. But the tough month is July and August. So Leo's having a hard time, I think, this year. Now, we could pass this around again. I see only one person wants to get my newsletters. Or you can sign up when you come back later. Okay.
That's the second
page. Oh, that's the second page. I feel so much better. Okay. Thank you. Some of you get it. Yep. Okay. So we were going to talk about how the signs are going. Yeah. So Aries probably has one of the hardest years of anybody going because of this, mostly the Mars stuff. Taurus, Uranus is going to come. When it comes, good God. I'm talking about 2018. Yep. But when Uranus, crazy shocking Uranus, comes into Taurus, which likes to have everything status quo, steady as she goes, don't rock my boat, not going to be an easy 7 years for Taurus or the part of your chart where Taurus is, where you think, oh, things, usually there's steady state there. Ha ha. Okay. And Venus is the ruler of Taurus. It only goes retrograde on alternating years in 2018. Well, I shouldn't say that because it was retrograde in 2017. About every year and a half. So we had it early in 2017. It's late in 2018. And when the ruling planet of your sign goes retrograde, that's when you're likely to have some difficulties. Yeah, there's another one. So that's where I think it's very important for you to know your sun sign, your rising sign, hopefully your moon sign. If not, you can always just go by that sun sign, but know your ruling planet. If you're Leo, sun rules Leo. There ain't no other planet to look at. But every other sign's got another planet to check out and find out if you've got some stress or something good coming with it. So let's see. The very least activity is the Geminis, the Virgos. Those signs have it pretty darn easy this year. And there's some nice things happening in Gemini. I wrote the new moon is nice in 515, but that's the Taurus new moon. Well, don't worry. Those dates, some of these dates are good dates. And when you see nice dates in the high points list, no matter what your sign is, you can use some of that time frame for doing some important things with the good dates on the high points. And no matter what your sign is, when you see some rotten crap coming in with the low points, lay low. All right. Cancer, we know the nodes are going to come. We got eclipses there. Leo finishing with the nodes, eclipses there. So those both have a lot of stress and intensity. Because things can come at you from across the zodiac or even sideways from three sides away, called the square, that's where if you're a Gemini or a Virgo, you're more likely to get problems from planets that are listed as affecting Pisces or Sagittarius. Okay. No matter what planet you have in a particular sign, when that sign is activated, that planet gets activated. So the moon is not in too much trouble this year. That's for you. That sounds good. Well, you hope. Well, you hope. Certain degrees, you know, like Neptune is right about in the middle of Pisces. So if your moon is right about in the middle of Gemini, it's going to be getting hit from Neptune. And Neptune is all about confusion and doubt and fear versus faith. Now, Gemini and Virgo every year have their ruling planet, Mercury, goes retrograde 3 times. Okay, so they're always used to putting up with that stuff. It's worse when the Mercury retrogrades occur in Gemini or Virgo. They're only in fire signs this year. I think the last one starts to dip a little bit into water. It goes from Sag down into Scorpio. But mostly fire signs are where we have this journey to kind of take a backward step, revise something, review things, do it a little bit differently. And the fire signs are very much about, what do we get excited about? So maybe it says return to something that you used to be excited about and try doing it again. Okay. Libras, like the Tauruses, they share Venus as their ruling planet, and that's going to be one of the backward planets for a little while. And you know how I was telling you about Uranus and the nodes making that T? Venus is going to make it into a cross. This is really not good. It may have something to do with just a shake-up in your social life, or it may have something to do with a shake-up in your financial, or maybe you could get a social life. Yes, that's true, because the nodes are connectors. That, well, it affects many people. It's going to affect Libra and Taurus maybe the most, but a little bit also Aries, where the Uranus is going through, the Leo Aquarius, where the nodes are, and then the nodes go backwards into Cancer and Capricorn. So it could touch a lot of different signs. And the nodes are going to, they always move backwards naturally, and they're going to shift out of Leo and Aquarius into Cancer and Capricorn. So part of that cross, because Venus in its back and forth goes between Scorpio and Libra, so it'll be, you know, it can catch some of that energy, whether it's at the 90 degree to Leo or Cancer or Capricorn or Aquarius. Just think of it this way. There's going to be kind of a mess in the fall that could be about relationships, really for anybody. And if it's in different houses in your chart that aren't the traditional relationship houses, say it's in the 4th and the 10th, which have a lot to do with home and family and boss and career. Maybe it's your relationship with your boss or with one of your parents that you're going to have the challenges with rather than with your significant other.
And this is for the sun sign Taurus?
Well, it will affect some sun sign Taurus. It could affect anybody, but because it's the ruling planet of Taurus, yes. Okay. Now, Scorpios, they're going to have a good year, I think. Because I told you when we first started, Jupiter just came into Scorpio for 1 year. Out of each 12, it spends one in each sign. And this is the turn for the Scorpios. And when Jupiter comes, it's generally considered a lucky planet, a benefic, they call it in the ancient astrology. Same root word as beneficial. And it opens doors. It makes you aware of more possibilities. You want to grow. You want to adventure. You want to try something different. So if you can find your house in your chart where Scorpio is, that's going to tell you what you want to expand during the course of 2018. And it's a little bit more fun, usually, than the Saturn energy, where I said time to get serious. But when when Jupiter is in Scorpio, it's a much more serious Jupiter than some other signs. And it wants to go deep and get you in touch with some of your core survival issues or things about sex, taboos, money, how you share your money with other people or how you don't, who's investing it for you, are you making it, are you losing it, some important personal stuff. And One thing that's very nice, the planet in charge of Scorpio, I told you it's the underworld ruler, Pluto, and Jupiter and Pluto will be two signs apart called sextile this year. It has nothing to do with sex, it's just 1/6 of the zodiac, so it's called sextile. And that's considered a positive relationship. And that happens to be in our high points column under best aspects of the year. The second one in there. So it happens three times because of the back and forth. And those would be times that might be good for investments for anybody, no matter what your sign is, or for reviewing those kinds of things. Jupiter in Scorpio, and it's sextile to Pluto. So Pluto wants to help, let's say, get rid of what's not working anymore and open up to new possibilities. So that's one of the things. Yes, excellent, to cash in on turn your trash to cash. Perfect for that. Perfect for that. That's all of 27, oh, until 8th of November. But it's in there now, and it's there for most of the year. Yep, so that helps Scorpio a lot. Sagittarius, late in the year, when Jupiter leaves Scorpio, it goes into Sag, which it rules. So the end of the year into all of 2019, those are the happy days for the Sagittarians. It's a little tougher for Sag this year because their ruling planet, Jupiter, it's going to be in 45 degrees, which is mildly friction called semi-square with Saturn. And this is Jupiter says, hey, I want to grow. And Saturn goes, yeah, tamp that down a little bit. Or put that, corral that energy in. You know, if Jupiter and sign of Sagittarius are wild horses, Saturn is putting the bit in the mouth and getting the rein out, or the whip out. Reins, whips, you can tell I'm a real horsewoman. Okay, so that's one of the tricky things for Sagittarius. Capricorn, Pluto's in for a long visit. It had a real hard time for several years. Uranus and Pluto were in the 90 degree friction. That was like 2011 to 2016, 17. Well, I mean, we're just kind of getting out of that. And we're not quite yet where Pluto's going to start making the 90 degrees, like at cross purposes, with that bitch Eris. But that's coming. It's coming in 2020, but it starts getting close in 2018 and 2019. It gets within 5 degrees this year, down to 1.5. That's too close for comfort. So there's a couple of moon cycles that are very difficult. And did I put those on here somewhere? Probably in the low points column. Oh, no. In the paragraph, no, that's not the paragraph about that. Da, 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 da. Well, one of them is 1024. I remember that, and I think the other one might be. It's the Cancer and the Libra times, because that makes the T-square and stuff. It's not good. I'm pretty sure I put it on here somewhere. Anyway, Capricorns are going to feel that, too, because Pluto's in Capricorn. Scorpios are going to feel that. Oh, I said you were going to have a good year, and now your ruling planet's starting to mess with Eris. Mixed. Okay, Aquarius. There's this new moon? Full moon. Must be the new moon in Aquarius on the 15th of February. That's the nicest eclipse all year, so that's good for the Aquarians. But mostly they're having a tough time. They got that Uranus in the T-square. That's their ruler. They also got a 45 with Neptune. This one goes on 5 exact hits, started in 2017, goes to the spring of 2019, so we have it like 3 times in 2018. And I think it's going to have a lot to do with things about energy production. We're trying to change off of oil onto more renewable resources of electricity. And Uranus rules electricity, and Neptune rules oil. Now, they got together in 1993, which was right about the time when photography went from chemical development to digital. And Uranus rules digital because it rules electricity. And Neptune rules chemicals, as well as oil and gas and things like that. So that was sort of the start of a new cycle for them. Oh, God, I don't even know how many years that cycle is, but it's probably over 100. Oh, yeah. And it's part of this sort of shift into the modern technology. And, oh, yeah, right around then, people were starting to have PCs. Oh yeah, right around then we all started to get our cell phones. Well, it was a little after that. But we live in a whole different world now than we did in the 80s. And that wasn't even that long ago. So I think this is the first major interaction between Uranus and Neptune since 93. That's how long that cycle is. So we're probably going to see some technological leaps that are coming in with that. But on a Earth changes level, I get a little concerned about it because, you know, Neptune, like, it's a water planet. And water conducts electricity. And Uranus is the lightning and electricity planet. So I think there's a greater danger of being around water and electricity for anybody, no matter what your sign is. So be careful in the bathroom and in the kitchen with your appliances and things like that. And I do think this also relates a lot to hurricanes. Okay, and that brings us to Pisces, because the ruling planet's Neptune, and it's part of this semi-square, which is difficult. There's also something that's not a planet that I consider just as important as a planet called Chiron. It may be a comet that got captured in our solar system, or maybe it's an asteroid. Its nickname is the Wounded Healer, and it has a lot to do with finding the weak link in our life and shoring it up. Or I also call it the Repairman, because it's for repairs and improvements. And it's been going through Pisces. It's showing us some of that weak link of how bad the oceans have become. And something needs to be done with that. And also the oceans have gotten hotter. Well, now when Chiron goes 10 or more years into Aries, a hot sign, those oceans are going to get hotter. More of those glacier melt and all that kind of stuff. I think it's going to go faster than the scientists have been saying. So we're a little bit concerned about that. So if I just had to give you a rundown, I would say the sign that has it easiest this year is probably Gemini, and second with Virgo, and the hardest is probably, I don't know, toss up, Capricorn, Aries and Capricorn, what? Yeah, Gemini is one of the easiest. You're going to have one of the easiest years of the signs. But see, we all got the signs, all of them, somewhere. Okay, now I want to tell you a few other things here. What else do I want to tell you? Some people have been buying these books from me for years and years. Been writing them for 17 years. They got more and more complex. They took up more and more time in my life. So there's no more print book. I'm coming out with just a modified ebook. It's called Janet's Daily Planets, 2018 Daily Planet. I thought of doing something this year I never did before. I said, Janet, why didn't you ever think of this before? You know, you get a month calendar, and it shows you Sunday to Saturday and the days of the month. I said, why don't I put my day ratings right on that? Duh. So every day I rate between 1 to 5. Ones are bad, fives are great. I didn't get a single 5 for 2018. A brief editorial comment. I misspoke at the lecture. There is 1 5-rated day in 2018, and it is Sunday, June 3rd. There's a bunch of 4s. 4's going to be about as good as it gets. Tons of 1s, lots of 2s. People start thinking 3's a good day because it's better than a 1 or a 2. It's only better than a 1 or 2. If it was better than that, it would be 4 or 5. So it's a mixed day still, but sometimes that's as good as you can get. But my ebook will have this kind of table in it where you'll be able to be at, you know, the hairdressers or the doctors, and you're making your appointment. It's like, oh, what's the best Thursday in March? And you go, oh, crap, we got 2-2-3-2-2. Okay, I'll take the 3. You know, it shows you the MRs for when Mercury's retrograde. So this will be something you can have in your tablet or on your phone, and that's a new feature. Many people will maybe have their book that they always make their appointments in anyway, and maybe they'll get my little thing to add to that. And I will be doing some commentary in the ebook that explains some of these things a little bit more. But, you know, when you see keyword or a term in this, high points, low points, you can get some of the keywords from the cheat sheet. I like the idea of trying to tune into the different energies or connect them to something with which you're already familiar, because astrology is a complex language composed of simple, basic building blocks. And if you think of like a card deck, there's suits, there's numbers, you can shuffle them into a million different hands of 1,000 different games, and it's never the same twice. your planets, your signs, your houses, and the interactions between them called the aspects are like those cards that are shuffled up, and you get dealt a certain hand as you came in. And your chart is that hand, and it helps show how you play those energies out throughout the course of your life. So if you've never had an astrology reading, I highly recommend that you get one. Anyway, this is a little bit complex. I hope I didn't confuse you more than give you something you can work with. But even if you don't understand all that lingo and vocabulary, if you do understand, here's some dates in the plus column, work with those. Here's some dates in the minus column, avoid those. And maybe looking by what sign is most important for you, there's going to be some more dates that they're going to tie back to the pluses and minuses on the first side. So you'll know if, you know, let's say you're a Libra, when is it going to be tough for you? Well, one of the times is when Venus is square to Mars. Well, Venus rules women and Mars rules men, and think we're going to have some little fights between women and men there in early September? Yes, I do. And I think that also repeats on October 10th that I even probably didn't put it in here. But I would have 1 or 2 minutes for questions. Pisces, yeah. Well, you're going to read if the word Pisces is in there, it might tell you something. Oh. Or on the back side, it might tell you something about Pisces. Yes, ma'am.
In general, the United States is a Cancer.
Yes.
And so in general, what kind of year we have?
Very good question. She says, the United States is a Cancer. What kind of year should we expect for Cancer or for the United States? I think this year won't be as difficult as next year and the year after, because the nodes are late in the year going to shift into Cancer, and then more eclipses are coming in Cancer. So it starts a little bit this year, and there's a July eclipse in Cancer. So I'm not thinking too bad. Actually, I would like to say something in sort of overall. We've had some very difficult years, and this one is not as difficult as that. There are some bumpy things, but they're not as major bumpy as what we've been having. So I think that this is one of those almost like what they call a fallow year when you're a farmer. You're going to let your field not have any crop in it one year so that the soil regenerates. They probably don't even do this anymore. But it's, we can maybe make some headway or even rest and not get too freaked out. There's going to be some stuff, but I don't think it's going to be like 9/11 stuff. Like, okay, what's happening in February? Anybody know? The Olympics. Where are they going to be? Seoul, South Korea. I thought, oh, crap. But I looked it up, and there weren't bad planets. In fact, my keyword for February was pretty tame. And that's the one eclipse out of the whole year. That's the easiest eclipse. So I am keeping my fingers crossed that there's no crap that goes on at these Olympics. And if that doesn't happen, I say amen. Because we just had our president 12 days in Asia, and he didn't start a war there then either. He was very conciliating to people because basically he's a coward, and he only attacks you from, you know, his Twitter throne. But we might make it through okay. Now, as goes the leader, so goes the nation. One of the rotten days on the low points list is his birthday, which is June 14th. What's happened in that day? Venus is messing with the Uranus-Neptune semi-square. I don't know. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. He's probably going to have a rougher year than some of us. But in general, A, I don't think the stock market's crashing. B, I don't think we're going to have a war right yet. Now, I like to say that. Now, Uranus messing with Mars. Mars is the god of war, and Uranus is lightning strikes. I don't know. But it seems to me that we're trying to be smarter with Saturn coming into Capricorn and establish some ground rules and play by them. And that rules government. And I think you're going to finally see Congress try to rein in a little bit of the president. I'm not sure. But thank you. That's a good question. And we have time for no more. Okay. So I want to thank you all for coming today. It was a lot of fun.